welcome to It's All Chaos, a podcast about two best friends who are navigating the ups and downs of working full-time,
running their own businesses,
blending families,
and taking on Nana duties.
Join us for our Becoming Sister Wives book club and Sister Wives rewatch.
And the challenging day-to-day events that just prove that every day, all day,
it's all chaos. Welcome to episode 20 of the It's All Chaos podcast. I'm Jill.
I'm Tracy.
And I'm Alex.
We are back with chapter 4 of the number one New York Times best-selling book,
Becoming Sister Wives.
The story of an unconventional marriage.
That's become our intro now. We all do our part.
We are now on The Browns Go A-Courtin'.
Oh, that's episode episode 1. Two. I don't know. Anyways,
who knows?
We'll get to that next time because we're talking about
Their joint name should be Robin.
Rhodey.
Robbie, because they're Robbie people of their joy and they Robbie people of their money.
Yeah. I thought Rhodey sounded funny and inappropriate.
That Cobbin.
Oh, but we had Cobbin.
Cobbin.
It's kind of like a coffin. It rhymes.
Cop it out.
Oh, Coppin. There you go.
I wish that. We need a P in there.
All right, so Robin was raised in a polygamous family in southern Utah. Her mother was the second wife. And something that they don't say in the books that I feel like I've picked up over, you know, my sister wives' adventures in their community. Her mom lived in a different state than wife number one. So reading the next part, they truly had a wonderful marriage, a honeymoon experience that lasted for years and years. I wonder if that's because they didn't see each other very often. And when he came...
Like
this, you know, absence makes the heart grow fonder type of relationship. Yeah. And she basically swore that she would never marry unless she could have that same kind of relationship.
Right.
Which is funny that she ended up with her first husband, which was definitely not that from what we hear.
No.
So we weren't there, but...
She, like many of the other wives, preyed on it and wanted that testimony in herself that she should live plural marriage, which she received. And she did get married at 21 to a fellow member of her faith.
So someone who also was had that belief.
Another prominent family.
Right. So, you know, high up, maybe equal to Christine in some way.
Yeah. I wonder if there is some links to their family somewhere.
Oh, maybe.
And she said, despite the fact that the then husband's family members were spiritual leaders, their marriage was not solid and they struggled from the start. But then they had... Three children?
Yep. They ended up having three children.
Mm-hmm. They stayed together long enough for three kids. She was the first wife, but shortly after her son was born, she knew without a doubt she wanted to have sister wives. But her marriage didn't last long enough to bring any additional wives into her marriage.
Which is interesting because, I mean, I know Cody and Mary, they were together for 3 years before they had their second wife. But Robin had three kids. And, I mean, that takes time.
Well, after seven and a half years of marriage, we separated. A half later, we were divorced.
So they weren't together long enough to bring a second wife? Was it just that they were never in a good enough place as a couple to bring a second wife?
Well, actually, there's a lot of answers there.
It's very strange because even in the show, they allude to the fact that this was a very bad man.
Yeah, like he was a bad guy.
And that's why they had to adopt the kids. But I'm not getting that vibe in real life that he was. I get the vibe that he was... forced out, and I don't know if that's so they could make sure they got all the money from those kids being on camera.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's very, very odd.
So here's, again...
And maybe in the rewatch, I'll catch more tidbits
as they talk about him or whatever.
Correct.
But I mean, but there's so much that I could bring up about this that, again, I have the memory of an elephant and, you know,
And you've listened to several podcasts where people have dug up.
I've been listening to stuff for years, and sometimes I dive into the Reddits or whatever. But from a high level...
Because the kids still see the other dad.
Occasionally, yes.
What I know. Dayton, for sure.
Right. David Jessup. I believe his last name is Jessup. David Jessup currently has been diagnosed with cancer. And I do not know if it is terminal, but I have heard the term dying of cancer. So that leads me to believe that it's terminal and, you know, we wish the best for him. But from what I've gathered, and again, what is out there? I mean, Cody. Cody's saying about Christine.
Before you say all of that, what was she said in this book is, I suffered a lot of pain and hardship. I had been badly mistreated and misled by my ex-husband.
Right. But so what I heard though was that...
that's as vague as it gets. I mean,
right.
I've heard that he was kind of verbally abusive to her, never physically, but that he was maybe like a yeller or a screamer, like maybe he put her down. I don't know. Maybe being in this polygamous world that he was and his family being fairly prominent, it was assumed and he just agreed to the whole sister wife thing, but maybe his first marriage was good, so he wasn't going to bring somebody else into that. Robin did her part, but I think, you know, there's a lot of things, but I think if you read kind of up on the whole like adoption thing, that David very much felt bullied into
giving up his custody,
giving up, yeah, to Cody so that they could have this whole like one family situation. And going through my own situation where my daughter has been adopted by my current husband and knowing what I know about the Browns, here's the one thing. Shortly after the finalization of the adoption to Cody Brown, these kids, they went and spent like a month with their dad. So he wasn't washing his hands of his children. He was giving legal guardianship and the sole financial responsibility of these kids to another man who they were with the majority of the time. And I appreciate the fact, again, knowing my current situation, that he still wants... he still sees himself as their father. On paper, legally, he's not the one responsible for them.
I wonder if it boils down to, again, those kids were getting some sort of financial money TLC.
Mm-mm. From everything I know, the parents are the five adults are the only ones getting paid.
Correct.
For this show.
But I think that in each individual contracted adult's contract, based on your children, you're able to work out the amount that you will get. Because
I don't think
so.
I've never heard anything about that. I think five adults split it five ways. They have an LLC that, from what I understand, there was an LLC that all TV show sister wives
went into. The Cody Brown Enterprises, I think, is what it was.
You know, yeah. I mean, and they've got so many LLCs, apparently. But so from what I understand, I don't know. Now, I think once things started to separate, like Christine definitely leaving, I think when all that started to wiggle away, I think things had to be broken down differently. But I think that's why sometimes, like, you hear it being said that, like, McKelty and Tony were kind of more supportive of Cody and Robin because Cody was kind of paying them on the back end.
Mm.
I've heard that. I don't know that that's true.
Right.
That's what I've heard. So they, you know, hey, you know, we'll be on your show. You give us, I mean, think about it. Maddie.
But my thought is, then what is the point? Why would they do this adoption of these kids if there wasn't a financial gain for Cody? Because Cody ain't going to take on...
Well, there is a financial gain. It's Tori's joke. My daughter, who's been adopted, everybody says, why did Casey adopt you, my husband? And she always jokes, for tax purposes. I mean... come on, that's tax money alone.
So there's
able
that.
To
but it's every other
more.
Year
no,
you
no,
get that.
So
well, it's every
that,
year now.
But then, right. But then the excuse too is that in order for him to legally adopt Robin's children, he had to be legally married to Robin.
So
which means he had to divorce
tactic.
Mary
yep.
to be legally married to Robin, so he could adopt those children.
I know we're moving way ahead of the chapter where they just are starting to where she's just getting divorced, but. It's a very interesting dynamic, and I hope as we continue on, we might see more.
But they say a lot about it in the show, about the fact that should something happen to Robin, because this is talked about a lot. Mary's sister was a plural wife. She died of colon cancer, right? I'm pretty sure.
Yeah,
and she said it was great.
Her sister wives took care of her.
Her sister wives just stood in because the kids were the kids, and
right.
she knew that her... you know, the kids were in safe care when she passed
right, right.
because there was a sister wife there. And Mary has said that, again, rewatching the first few
yeah.
episodes, she has said, I know that if anything were to ever happen to me, Mariah,
at the time,
Leon
right.
would be taken care of. Right.
right.
So their big concern was that should something happen to Robin,
they didn't want the
legal
kids
parent,
to leave the family either.
Right. Right.
So
that was
like
said
this,
a
it's
lot.
It's like a lot of things.
Right. And if he was only, let's just say,
like
1 month,
like
a 1 month
dad.
A year. Right, right. And I hate to say it that way, not to discount what he was doing, but
right.
he lived in a different state.
Right.
So if he was only a dad for a week around Christmas and a month in the summer, then he can still do that while giving Cody full financial responsibility
right.
for
right.
them.
Right.
Right.
You know, and that's what I like because, again, in my situation.
And then they can stay a part of the family, especially when Cody and Robin were having kids together. Yeah. Then they wouldn't get separated from those siblings because those siblings wouldn't go.
Right.
So.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, and that, gosh, that would, in, I think, yeah, that the Solomon was around by then. I don't know if Ariella was, but Solomon.
I don't think he was.
Yet. Solomon was. But, yeah, thinking about my situation where my ex-husband, the only way to say it, has washed his hands and there's no birthday calls or texts. There's no birthday cards in the mail. There's his parents don't call or text or whatever. So with the adoption, I mean, and this was before, which is why we asked for it, but it's done. So I do appreciate the fact that these kids still know that David is their father.
Right.
That David wants to know about them. And yes, he still wants to be involved. That just because the adoption has taken place, it doesn't change biologically who is the family.
Correct.
So anywho.
So heading back into the chapter, we get to where she says she feels, Robin says, I feel betrayed. I need to regain my confidence and my inner strength to ensure that I would never be mistreated again. And then Jill, I'm going to let you talk about what she did. Because I know how much joy this brings you.
I don't know about joy, but...
how much giggles.
I will continue the reading. It took me a while to realize that the only person I could rely on to protect me was myself. Okay? When I discovered this, I invented an alter ego who became my protector. Her name was She-Ra. Wow.
And all I can picture is the actual figurine or the cartoon of She-Ra because I grew up Gen X here with He-Man cartoons because my brother Skeletor loved it.
She-Ra.
So if she is She-Ra,
yes,
does that make Cody He-Man. Skeletor?
Oh, He-Man.
No, he is.
But
not
no. But you wait. Can you not look at Cody a little bit and see how he's with the curly hair? Even at the beginning when they were dating and he was like straightening his hair.
All he's talking about this season is his abs.
Right? My rock hard abs.
Six-pack abs.
And He-Man had his abs. And oh, I'm looking at him in through a shirt thinking.
He's turning into He-Man.
How do you have six-pack abs with that belly I see?
I don't know. But anyway,
he says they're there, but shirts you're wearing and leave a lot.
She-Ra represented her stronger, tougher, bolder side. And since no one was going to come to her rescue, she transformed part of her into her own superhero.
So what happened to She-Ra? Because I don't think, when I see her and her sobbing, I don't see no
She-Ra. Well,
she
puts her away. She shoves her down later in this chapter.
I guess
we're talk about
it. Yeah, true.
Because, she has to keep telling, shut up, She-Ra. She-Ra.
They have fights.
They had some internal dialogue. Seriously, I read this and the way it is written, which has to be in some way, if Robin wrote this book, if Robin had a heavy hand in this book and she's the one verbally, even if it was a ghostwriter and they interviewed Robin and she was telling this part, they wrote it in a way where this... It sounds a little schizo, right?
Oh, 100%.
Oh, yeah. Right? I'm 100%.
But again,
she but her personality is very too
two-faced
to where she's
three-faced or four-faced. Yeah.
Well,
she pulls out her
Does
Cody
she not have enough memory
she's
to
like,
remember
she's like
what
Harvey
really
Dent.
Happened?
One personality can speak, Cody. She
she's like,
to find
she's
that
like
one.
Harvey Dent.
Yeah.
It's very odd.
Yeah. She-Ra was instrumental in helping me cope with the emotional turmoil caused by my marriage. That's funny. I just went and got a counselor.
But the thing, right above that, she says, She-Ra helped me put up a fortress around my vulnerability.
Fortress of solitude.
And develop a hard, impenetrable
Superman,
side
but...
so I wouldn't fall for anyone's tricks again.
And then
David
here
was a tricker.
Came Cody.
And then here came...
He-Man.
Tricky Cody.
Prince
Ricky.
Power.
The Tricky Ricky. So we're heading over to page 66. You got anything?
Any man who approached me was gonna have to prove himself in every way possible, and he would have to go through She-Ra. I'm gonna add first. He'd get through She-Ra first. Wow.
So her marriage and divorce were so difficult. She decided she'd take a break from relationships. She didn't need the complications of a dating life.
Let's also
but then
throw
she
in the
be
fact
in plural
she had
marriage.
Three children.
Well, then she wouldn't be in plural marriage, but she's trying to get away from complications. I mean, I feel like plural marriage is a multitude of complications.
I don't know. But thank heavens, on that same page, she says, if and when I married again, I wouldn't care less the least bit what my husband looked like. Thank heavens, because you got ramen noodle hair.
No, she's the one who taught him how to do that.
Yeah, she taught him
how to do the crunch.
I'm just saying.
He just talked about
it. She's doing it on purpose so nobody else wants him.
But she wants people to want him. Remember, she doesn't want him all the time.
She's putting up her Cody.
She Cody catcher. Cody
it's
catcher.
Keeping her him just
it's like a
Cody
catcher.
And a craft.
Tell me a number. Tell me a number. Pick a color.
I constantly feed him pasta and carbs so that six-pack ab goes away.
So they're hidden.
Janelle is so hot for his six-pack abs. So I'm going to bury him under a layer of fat.
And here she is saying,
I'm going to curl the hair so the man bun goes away because Janelle wants that man bun.
Oh, yeah, she did. She likes a man bun.
My husband could be older, young, fat, or skinny. She didn't have a care as long as he was a good man and a good husband. But you know what? They care if the women have stretch marks because, by gosh, they're going to like them even with their stretch marks and the weight they put on.
She may not be superficial, but she doesn't care for us.
And
the
I
want to
say, if
right,
you were exactly. a person, especially over the COVID years, that didn't put on any weight,
God bless
shush
you.
Shush your mouth. Because the rest of us were stuck inside.
I feel like that was two different responses. God bless you and you shut your damn
mouth. I don't know how it's
possible.
That's why I say God bless
you. The only thing
you
could do at that time was go to a grocery store.
Yeah, the gyms were closed.
And learn how to make bread.
Hey, maybe they had a treadmill in their living room. They never got off it. I don't know.
You had to learn. For gosh sakes, that's how I ended up on TikTok. I invented the Snack Olympics.
Yep.
We did. I enjoyed the Snack Olympics.
I know. I just watched our M&M one the other day.
You know what would be funny? If you like brought it back from the very beginning
it
and
all
did
started
all the same
with pickles
ones again and see March. If the same outcome comes.
It all started
now that
with
I'm
pickles.
On the Monjaro and things taste a little different. They're a little sweeter.
Maybe.
We're back on. We started with pickles. Grillos, do you hear me?
Oh my
gosh. You could send some pickles.
Dude. Okay. I get a side note because you said Grillos pickles. Pickles. Every now and then I see
they're
them and I'll buy
pickle
them.
Pickle de gallo.
So good.
But they're expensive as pickles go. And again, there are six kids in my home.
You guys put them upstairs in your fridge?
Lock up those Grillo's pickles, baby.
I've done it. I've had to put Grillo's in my wine fridge up in my bedroom. Because I will buy a container of Grillo's. They're like $8, right? $7-$8 for a container of Grillo's pickles.
So good.
I will come back 24 hours later and there's nothing in there but dill leaves because they can't even throw the container out and make me forget they were there. They have to leave an empty dill.
You lock those babies up and you give them store brand off the shelf, non-refrigerated.
This is totally off the thing, part of the chaos. But if you take that Grillo's pickle juice and you cut up some cucumbers and throw them in there, leave them for a little while.
They won't make it. They'll just pull them out and eat them.
I'm just saying for you, don't just let the brine go to waste. Remake some more. But notice right after what I just read, she said, I wanted someone whose sole priority was taking care of his family. Well,
which
he's
it looked
done a
like
bang
in the beginning.
Job.
It looked like, but it looked like in the beginning that's what he was doing before she came around.
Why does she not feel tricked by Cody? Why is she supporting and defending him to the death instead of these other women? Because he has not done
anything. He ruined the family.
Right.
He ruined it. Yep. Single-handedly.
He stopped what assistance. He was doing so well.
No.
He
she helped.
Yeah.
She helped. But... Yeah. But you know, he's the patriarch and nobody can make him do anything, blah, blah, blah. So, I mean.
I don't know.
I think he has a bigger part in it than her.
So that's what I had highlighted over on Yonder.
So
page.
After her divorce, she went to hang out with her cousin, Reba. Reba lived
of
in
Lehigh.
Lehigh. Yeah, which
that's
is
how
where.
They say it on the podcast I listen to. Lehigh.
They went to church. And she walked in and all of a sudden he looked up and our eyes met.
With his shaggy blonde hair.
Cody, we're talking about. I'm not exaggerating when I say I felt as though I had been shot with a bolt of lightning.
Which they both have said that, which I think is hysterical. Because he's also said other things too, where he thought that he had an ick factor.
I think they had that immediate
But then he also has said that he had an ick factor about her because she was a divorcee with three kids in a minivan.
Yeah.
So he said both things.
Right. Well, you know, Christine was cute and bubbly, but, you know, eating nachos turned him off.
Right.
Cheese,
I also think that the attraction
Robin was super
was
hot and sexy until he saw her minivan.
When he first
damn
saw
it, she's
her
got
there,
a minivan.
When he first saw her there,
deal breaker.
He probably didn't know she had three kids, so that
the
attraction was there.
Oh, true. True. And then the ick factor came.
Electric.
Just like
it was
just
only
like
electric until all of a sudden there was that other picture. And then
yeah, true. True, and then fizzled out.
The minivan was no different than chili cheese fries. That's why it was
lightning, because lightning doesn't last.
The chili cheese nachos, I'm sorry.
It strikes and it's gone. The chili cheese
nacho of this relationship.
That's right. Sorry. Okay.
So, but she was furious with herself that she had any sort of reaction to this, because this is a man with two wives.
Shira.
That was this divorcee.
Who that was Shira.
Shira.
I blame Shira.
Before Shira could scold her, she quickly repaired the crack that had appeared in her armor.
Wow. Shira was screaming at me from inside my head. I swear.
This is really strange. He is probably an idiot.
Right?
Well, he most certainly is.
So, a month later, she was visiting Reba again, and she was getting ready to leave. There was a group of friends.
But I focused on Mary instead. She was sweet and engaging.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Mary.
Because Reba then introduced...
Mergers and acquisitions.
officially introduced her to Cody and Mary.
But Shira was screaming at her.
But eventually Cody noticed that she wasn't part of the small crowd that had gathered around him, you know, just fawning over his six-pack abs. So he turned to her and said, and who's your husband?
Because if she wasn't fawning over him, she must have a husband.
Right. Right. Yeah, exactly. Obviously.
And she says, I don't have one. I don't have one. I don't think she would have giggled. I think she would have been
so romantic. Did you see my diesel jeans?
It is.
Then so he teased her about marrying her off to one of those guys sitting around on her cousin's lawn. Which is weird, because does he know which ones belong to her family?
Yeah, I remember.
No, because he doesn't know.
That's what I'm saying.
That's fine. You know.
Anyway, so later down on that, she has been talking to her mom about how this made her uncomfortable. But her mother insisted that she get her scent out
her
there.
Her scent out there.
Which is weird.
I agreed to go to the dance.
Like, what is she, a dog pissing later, on things?
But only to escort get your pheromones my, out my there. Daughter and sister who needed she a was, social.
Let him smell
all I
you.
Think is, she was no, a deer. At the time. You know how deers have the scent in their butts? And then they fan their tail to get their scent out to attract the male deer?
She was in heat. We didn't know it.
Well, now you do.
Get your sorry, pheromones out there.
Alex is making these great little wispy
you cannot see
movements with her hands.
We, watch, you know what we should do? We should do like the Kelsey brothers, and we should video us making the podcast.
Now, Robin turns it around and says, I said we could do that. We could put it on, then put it on
that
YouTube.
Would be funny.
So people will be seeing that too.
If anybody wants to see us recording our craziness,
let
chaos.
Us know.
Yeah, all right.
Let us know.
We'll show you all the
she
chaos.
Says she got to the dance, and how she puts it is that her mother was right, at least in part. She needed to put her face out there and show people that she wasn't ashamed. She says face.
Get your scent out
there. She was not putting her booty nowhere. I was validated in the breakup of my marriage, somewhere. And I had nothing to hide. So here she's again saying, I was right in ending
in
this
my divorce,
marriage,
yes.
Which we don't know the story of,
right.
Really.
We need
and so
him to write a book.
At the dance... She ran into Mary, and Mary came rushing over to start talking to her. She was so friendly and sweet. And we know that Mary had an immediate taking to Robin.
Yes.
Because
Robin was
that
be
was
her
apparent
friend.
At the beginning of the show.
Mm-hmm. Robin was going to be her buddy. So it could be 2v2.
I think Mary wanted so badly another wife because she needed
they were
going to
be 2v2. That's what I just said.
So, yeah.
First and last against the middle two.
But she says she thought Mary had taken pity on her and made Cody dance with her. So she felt like a complete loser. But she let Cody have the pity dance and thought it was kind of Mary to send her over. But yet, when they begin dancing, they were immediately at ease with each other. They felt relaxed, and Cody was easy to talk to. So this is the lightning's back, the sparky bits.
It's electric.
Where is Shira?
No, she told Shira to shut up.
I'm just saying. So she said for those 10 minutes when they were dancing in the hall, it felt as Cody and her were the only people in the world. And then all of a sudden, Cody said, will you excuse me, please? And they were getting ready to say the prayer, and she hadn't even noticed for the dance. I guess you say prayers at dances. I didn't know about this.
It was as if Cody and I had escaped to an island together. Right there in the middle of the dance floor.
Yep.
So romantic.
So she was curious about Mary and wanted to get to know her better. But Mary, again, she was very quiet. Cody was very engaging with Robin's sister in conversation about plural marriage. That... her sister was a first wife and was interested in living the principle, which intrigued Cody, another person looking to get in So her first impressions were Cody was nice, thoughtful, interesting man who liked conversation. But her sister was teasing her, telling her that she was sure Cody liked her. And she said it didn't matter because if Cody was head over heels with, you know, for her, she had made an agreement with herself and God and Shira.
What about Shira?
And Shira.
She didn't say,
that she was not putting herself out there. She was not available. If God wanted her to marry someone, he'd have to hit her over the head with it and give her irrefutable proof that this is what she was meant to do. In the meantime, she's going to figure herself out, get her kids in a safe situation. At this point, are they not in a safe situation?
But it also is like, in a safe situation from what?
I don't know. And yeah,
because if you're getting your kids into a safe situation, why would, if it's from the ex-husband, why would the kids still be seeing him? Like
dangerous.
Well, I think at this point she was living separate from her ex-husband. I think that she was a single mom of three. So maybe safe situation as in like financially. Yeah, that's what I think. That she was looking to figure herself out and
I think she leaves a lot of innuendos, just like she does in the show.
She probably did on purpose. You know?
So then we go on to the Cody section, and I'll be honest.
And she assumed she'd never see Cody again.
Yeah, I know. I didn't highlight a bunch on these two pages. So
Jill did.
Good. So
I didn't.
The only thing I highlighted in the top portion of the next one was when she says she called it love at first sight, but you might have something before that. So I'll let Jill kick this one off.
So again, from the top with Cody, I highlighted Mary instantly sensed that there was something special about Robin. So again, Mary, this is Cody saying that Mary was the one who noticed it first. I think
even in the show at the beginning, we got that from Mary.
Yeah.
That was very clear that Mary was very gung-ho for this thing.
Right. But then Cody says, but the stirring I felt around Robin changed this almost right away. I'm sorry, let me step back. I had always declared that I wouldn't invite this situation into my life.
Blending families.
Exactly. That's what this is about. I'm sorry, I highlighted the most important parts, but we're not talking about it. He was nervous about Robin because she was divorced. This is what you were saying before, Alex. Divorce can bring a lot of technical difficulties in terms of blending families, which I know all about, and raising another man's children, which Cody jumped right into his place. Right. I had already declared that I had always declared I wouldn't bring that into my life, but the stirring around Robin changed his thought about that immediately, basically, is what he's saying.
Right.
He had always said this, and he met Robin and went,
never mind.
Who cares?
Forget that. He said he couldn't deny the spark. It's not the kind of spark you feel in your loins, but something deep and transcendent. I guess you could call it love at first sight. So I think this is where the soulmate moment happens.
Right.
So,
or he's realizing that that's what it is. Again, it's not necessarily that he just wants to like jump her bones because that would be the loins, right?
Is this where he realized that he did not feel this with the other three women?
You know, and he almost knows nothing about her at this point.
Right.
So at this point, it is purely attraction. Even though he's saying it's not in his loins, they've had one small conversation on the dance floor.
Right.
You know, even if they stood there and talked for an hour, they had one great conversation.
Right.
And he is willing to throw away all his ideals and everything that he's thought about.
How he was never going to do that.
Yeah.
So he says after the rest of the night, he spent most of the time talking to Robin's sister. But when Mary and him got home that night, they stayed up for 2 hours talking about Robin. They rehashed the whole experience of the dance. They discussed their feelings about a new wife and whether Robin would be that person. Robin appealed to Mary, and Mary was looking forward to having her as a friend as well as a potential sister wife.
Well, and he also...
Here they are, hatching the plan.
Well, and he also mentions, too, that the reason why he spent so much time talking to Robin's sister is because he was doing it to avoid flirting with Robin.
Right.
Yep, for sure. And I think he's probably learning about the family and the situation.
Yeah.
We had arrived at a place we'd been dreaming of since I married Christine. It seemed like an insane idea to threaten the peace of our household by considering a new wife.
Because right above that, he said, despite our minor disagreements, our family was stable. All my wives were happy.
Right.
Which...
And when we get to the rewatch,
that's debatable.
I've taken some notes. Well, the thing is when we get to the rewatch, I've taken some notes. Right, but yes, and that's the thing.
The reason they were happy isn't because their relationships with each other were working at all. They were busy focused on small children.
Well, there were
teenager children, and they had a lot of kids.
I think the easiest way to describe it is, imagine like, I mean, you know, we all have jobs and we all work in teams, right? There are other people who do our job with us, and some... team members we interact more than others. I think everybody had found their place and everything was functioning well as a team.
They were working like a machine.
Which is
together.
Why Robin saw things looking good.
Because they were doing a good job working together.
There
getting
are
things
people
done.
You walk into work and say good morning to, and maybe you don't say any more than that, or hey, how was your weekend? And it's all very surface level.
Right.
But there's people that you walk into work and you're like, how was your weekend? And you're willing to spill it and be like, oh my gosh, remember how I was telling you about my brother? Well, he showed up at Christmas and you'll never believe this or that. Right. There's just different relationships.
Well,
and I think at that point, they had worked out a system, a routine.
Well, yeah.
Everybody had their role, so they weren't stepping on toes anymore.
Because, I mean, even in our rewatch, when we watched the first episode again, and they were out doing yard work.
Yep.
Like, these kids raked leaves, and these kids trimmed this, and these kids did that, and this wife did this, and this wife did that, because they all kind of found, like, this is the part that we do, so we can get it all done together.
Right.
And I think that's, like what you said, they just came to a place of knowing, when this activity is happening, this is my responsibility, and if I do that piece, they do this piece, and then it all gets done, and then we move on. So it was like this.
But like you said, everything here, because again, I took some notes of what Christine said in the first few episodes once we get to the rewatch part of this. Christine was very much out of the loop until, I'm going to use this term, it was too much.
As was Janelle.
You know, Janelle a hair more, it seems. Mm-hmm. From the rewatch that I'm doing, maybe we'll feel something different in the book.
The decisions had already been made before either one of them knew.
It very well could be.
It was made by
one of them
Cody.
Didn't even know about the person.
Right. Christine.
Yeah.
Right.
I thought it was Janelle.
I think Janelle didn't know she was coming over that day. I think Janelle knew the situation. I don't know.
I made notes too.
I did too.
I wrote down who it was. So on the we're moving on to the next page, 71. And he says, both Mary and I were convinced that Robin had a wonderful spirit, kind and profound. And what I want to know is, where is that kindness? Because what she has now is placating and underlyingly like bitter, harsh. It's not.
I feel like in the beginning she had more kindness. Now, I still feel like she made some choices that were maybe not the greatest in how she delivered the kindness. But like, I mean, because it's so fresh in my mind with the rewatch or the look back. When she did the thing where she took them all out to go wedding dress shopping, even though she also went wedding dress shopping with Cody. Like, that was something she was trying to include them. And the other wives even made mention that, like, I never even thought to include my sister wives. Like, Christine, I never thought to include them in that. Like, that was so nice of her to think of us, to include us. But then when they find out that Cody and her went, they're like, then what was this whole thing about? And so I feel like it's kind of, like, the kindness is there.
And that Cody picked out her dress.
But then it kind of...
The thing is I
don't... But then Robin said he didn't pick out the dress.
Well, now they're saying different things about it.
Yeah.
Right? That was. But what I think, too, is I don't think Robin had an ulterior motive asking her sister wives to go dress shopping. I think after they went dress shopping, she didn't decide on a dress.
And
she was probably talking with Cody
again.
About it.
And then they went again.
Probably Cody said, well, I'd like to help you pick. And she's like, oh, this could be fun.
Yeah.
Right?
That's exactly how I think of it as well.
Yeah.
Even with the look back
think,
and how things have gone since. I
think
that
think
it was
Robin,
very innocent.
Yeah. I don't think Robin tried to do anything wrong at that point. Or was trying to be nefarious.
And so in the beginning, which is why she said, I never mentioned anything about it because it didn't matter. Because that wasn't the point of it.
I'm still going to pop in and say, way to go, Mary. Your dress that you made.
Oh, yeah, true. It was beautiful that she made it.
Yeah.
Just saying.
And then, she tried to include the wives.
One kudo for you. In fact, I'll give you two kudos.
Like, in their entire wedding thing, and she wanted them to all have those different rings so they could all, like, be together. And so I think that she really was trying in the beginning with the kindness. Now, what happened to it over time, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think in the beginning she really was. More so.
So there was some praying to God to figure out if this woman needed to join their family.
Their God said yes.
Their God said yes. But I don't have anything more highlighted on that next page. Did you, Jill, have anything?
71.
71.
I just said Mary and I kept looking at each other's eyes saying something's happening. We feel something happening. So again, the two of them, by the time they talk to anybody else about the situation, they've got this profound witness that they felt something about Robin. And then going into the next page, Cody called up Reba, who lived in Lehigh, which is, yes, Robin's sister, and said, you should call Robin and ask her who she's thinking about right now.
So he's flirting through her sister.
Right, basically.
Because he's weird.
So, basically, I feel like that phone call was more or less to get Reba to orchestrate a situation where Robin would again be back in town.
Right.
To meet them. So
they were going
to
come meet, and then when... before Reba arrived at the house, because they were going to talk to Reba, Mary got emotional and said, Cody, what if we're not right? What if she's not meant to be with us? What if we're wrong about the way we feel? And then he says he explained to Mary that what he felt for Robin was undeniable. The spiritual and emotional connections was not going to be undone by any personal insecurities.
Can you
that
believe
Mary
this?
And him had.
Personal insecurities. That's,
but again,
yeah.
This is where nothing happens if a wife has a question about it. And he's saying, well, you better stop questioning because...
Right. And again, if these are Cody's words, God had brought into our lives was meant to be there. Period.
Right.
It only had to be ratified by Robin, her parents, and our church leaders. So pretty much everybody else involved.
And not Christine and,
but, you know,
and Janelle.
Right. Yeah. No, that's right. That was not said there at all. It didn't have to be ratified by them.
Nope. And so when Reba showed up, she said... very directly, I have to know what you two were thinking about Robin. So Mary and he exchanged glances and explained that they'd both been bitten by the same love bug. We told her that our feelings concerning Robin were profound. Which again, why is it only Mary? Why are the other wives not in this? Why do they not know who Robin is? Or
they're pretty much proposing to Reba for Rob, you know, to Robin through Reba.
Without
and Janelle
the other
and Christine
two.
Haven't even
they
met
have
her
no
yet.
Idea who the heck this person is.
Right.
They don't even know her name. They don't even know she exists.
So we go on to a Robin section. And Reba is talking to her, basically saying, Cody and Mary want you to come over and meet the family. And then Robin is instantly like nervous about it. And says how many of them will be there. And then Reba explained that Cody had three wives. So she would be number four. So, and again, Robin's curious, three. And then Robin says, I already had my testimony that I was going to be a part of a plural family. So she had already committed to that. I knew since I was a divorcee and with older kids, I wouldn't be a first wife again. So she had already settled on that. But I never entertained the possibility of being a fourth wife. The majority of men in our faith have two wives. So it sounds like, and you know, I don't know much about the polygamous faith or the FLDS, but it sounds like two is kind of where they stop, which is funny because two always seems so toxic from everything, you know, that they say. The third wife calms it down. But anyways, she was going to be number four.
So when she was debating, Reba insisted, told her that she would pay for the gas to go down to visit him. She told her no still, but she'd think about it. And so for the next couple of days, she contemplated a lot, asked God to give her a sign. Even though she knew he didn't work that way, she played all these little games with herself, for instance, promising if I saw the name Cody written anywhere, I'd take it as a sign. She should go. And
you're
I'm
never
going
to see it spelled that way.
Where's she
right?
By the
way.
Where's she right?
Yeah.
She squashed her down. She doesn't need her anymore.
Eventually.
She hasn't heard her say her. But then the last sentence of this page.
Yeah.
The whole trip to Lehigh, She-Ra was screaming at the top of her lungs, don't do this.
She should have listened
Get
to She-Ra.
Get your butt home now. I had to agree with her. I had no idea what I was doing. Okay, but you're there. She yelled at me until I pulled into my cousin's driveway. I hadn't even got out of the car yet when Reba swooped on me. We're going to the Browns.
So, it's Reba's fault.
I blame Reba. I blame Cody and Mary.
So, anyway.
She did her best.
Reba did let Cody know that she had talked Robin into coming down. And at this point, this is when Cody says, I still hadn't told Janelle about Robin.
Yep. I highlighted that too.
I'd only seen Robin a handful of times, and I wasn't sure what sort of footing we were on. I wanted to make sure she was at least slightly open to the idea of a relationship with me before I broached the subject with my wives.
But here we go. You're already ready to marry her, it sounds like.
Right.
So I don't know what kind of relationship footing you're looking for.
Naturally, I would need their consent to court her. I approached Janelle first. I explained that what had been going on with Mary, Robin, and me, and what my feelings were. So she got to know first.
Yep.
Or third. I guess third. Cody and Mary knew it.
Right.
One and two.
Yeah.
So she said, he He said, when I finished talking, Janelle had a surreal experience. She was overcome with emotion. She put her hand over her chest and said, oh my goodness, there's something special about this. This is supposed to happen. Tears welled up in her eyes. She says she felt a burning in her bosom and it was undeniable affirmation. So he was so moved by Janelle's reaction to his news. It made him giddy for Robin's arrival. I had told Christine about Robin the night after the dance. Okay, so you're right. Janelle learned last.
Yes.
Okay, but Janelle didn't know until she was showing up. But again, last.
But the thing is, again, hearing Christine talk about it in some of the first few episodes, they don't even bring that up.
Right.
So I could see Robin and Mary, Mary and Cody coming home from this dance. And then when he goes to Christine's house next, hey, how was your time? Right. Blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, we went to that dance. You know, there was this girl I met, Robin. She was kind of interesting.
And we never talked further about it before inviting her down.
Because that's what it says right here. This is from Cody's words. Right. Well, I had told her about it that first night.
Right. And then Christine expressed her disappointment that she hadn't stayed later to meet her at the dance. Christine is such a warm and inviting person. I knew she'd go out of her way to welcome Robin. Soon I had my wife's consent to get to know Robin. I don't think he gave him a choice to get the consent. It was
no, because he said
the ball was already rolling.
Well, because he went in with like, okay, these are the feelings that I have, and Mary also has them, and now so this is where we're at.
Witness,
so and so it's like, Christine, well, if all these people are having this feeling, like, what am I going to say? What am I going to be the bad guy and say
right.
no?
Right.
Right.
So then we're moving into another Robin.
Moving on.
And she said she had no idea what to expect when she turned up at the Browns. She noticed there were three convertibles parked in the driveway for some reason.
This is funny. I never knew there were three.
She had the impression that they were trying to show off. What is this? An episode of Cribs? I asked Reba, which is super funny because I think that's what Cody wants to do, is show off.
Oh, yeah.
Let's be honest.
Yep.
Later on, to her horror, Reba repeated this to Cody in front of her and added, hey, Cody, you want to make it four convertibles?
Okay.
Nah, we'll just get one biggie housey.
Right?
Later.
Yeah.
That's what they say on my podcast, the one biggie housey. It cracks me up.
But then they did.
So, when I walked into the large house where all the three wives had their own separate apartments, I was nervous and a little overwhelmed. My cousin was parading me around, which is not my style at all. But she says, especially in front of Janelle and Christine, who she'd never met before. But luckily, Mary was friendly and sweet and stuck by her side, like laying claim to their friendship.
Right?
Yeah.
Which we all know that she needed her ally.
Oh, and the podcast I keep referencing that I listen to right now, Jill listens to several, but is Surviving Sister Wives, and it's a couple, and they are hilarious. We've talked about them on the previous episodes. So if you need something even more Sister Wives in between, that'll keep you in business. So anyway, she said she was uncomfortable with all the eyes on her, but Cody said he felt the electricity between them that night, but she was just trying hard to prevent any connection. That's Shira, right?
Shira was screaming.
She put up her wall and hid behind it, but there was one moment when the wall completely crumbled.
But Shira was screaming, leave, get out, go, this is scary.
Janelle had left the cookout early and gone to bed because she had to drive to Wyoming the next morning and collect the other children from the grandparents. Many of the younger kids were running around, and when Janelle said goodnight, Cody told her that he would put Savannah, their youngest child, to bed a little while later. I wanted to check on my kids, who were off playing somewhere in the house. The house was big, and I had no idea where anything was. I walked through Mary's apartment and spied Cody in the kitchen, holding Savannah, washing her feet in the sink.
And this is such a sweet story. Right. And I understand why Robin seeing that would have made her melt.
Right. Especially if perhaps her ex was very hands-off with the children.
Was not that way, yeah.
If only she knew that 10 years from that date, he would ignore her for Christmas and not message her for several months.
Or this. The things... Well, that wasn't Janelle's... I mean, the...
It says Savannah.
Yeah, Savannah. Savannah's daughter.
Yes. I thought you meant Robin.
No. But that so, Cody.
But here's the deal. If only Robin knew that what she's professing... What was her ex-husband not being involved and a great father to her children?
Yeah,
was exactly what Cody was going to do to every other child
besides children.
Her
five,
the ones birthed by her.
Right.
So he didn't know she was watching. He wasn't trying to impress her. So she just that melted her heart. And the next day she met the Browns at Sunday school. Reba and her were talking to Mary, Cody, and Christine, who were very happy to see her. Mary turned to her and asked, would you like to come over for lunch for dinner forever?
Forever? Which,
that is more romantic than any of his proposals. Mary, you win most romantic proposal of them all in this book.
Dress.
And beautiful wedding
One
dress.
More kudo point. I don't know how many of you guys have.
Romantic.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, she was embarrassed, but did agree to come to lunch. She-Ra is nowhere in sight.
She didn't agree forever yet.
After church, she found herself back at the Browns' house. Janelle was... picking up the older kids, Mary had to run an errand. Christine was bustling in and out, so Cody and her were left pretty much by themselves. It was awkward, uncomfortable, and he was teasing her. But when that didn't work, he tried to dig into her past and found out more about what led to her current situation. She told him she preferred to wait until all his wives were home so she could tell them all at once.
Which I thought was very nice.
So yes. They all got the same story. When the door opened, all the teenage kids burst in.
Janelle had been picking them up in Wyoming because they were at Grandpa's ranch working for the summer.
The door burst open and in came all of them. There was a lot of them, too, at that time.
Right.
All of the kids were talking all at once. The adults were talking over them. Everyone was so happy to see the kids. It was so thrilled. Basically, it was the most amazing atmosphere she'd ever experienced. And she was
immediately the next paragraph, yeah.
Okay, you want to take that one?
Sure. It was immediately clear how much the family loved one another. It hit me exactly how much both of my kids and I had been missing out on a thriving, stable family experience. The thing I wanted for my kids, first and foremost, was a good family. And here it was in front of me, a family literally overflowing with love. Those are her words.
So, you know what's interesting here?
Overflowing with love.
Remember how Janelle wanted a good father for her kids.
Yep.
She never said she wanted a whole family. She wanted sister rights. She never said she needed sister rights. She wanted a good husband or father for her kids.
Right. Yep.
And now here's Robin saying, I want a family.
Yes.
I want a family.
For me and my kids.
Yep.
Yep.
Right.
And then the next paragraph, she ends up by saying, I fell in love with Cody's family before I fell in love with him.
And I believe that.
She's already said electric and all of this, so they were smitten with each other.
Right,
but
love.
Seeing him be with his family and how he was with his family, which is why I feel like if Robin simply made Cody read page 77 of this book, or 76 and 77 of this book, and say, where is this Cody? When was the last time you washed Savannah's feet? When was the last time you hugged Logan?
When was the last time your family came in and everybody was feeling
excited and happy?
But Cody impressed me. He was everywhere all at once. He was meeting kids' needs. He was wiping a nose, picking things up, helping with the dishes, checking in with his wives. He was going out of his way to make sure everyone was okay.
Yeah,
now he makes sure nobody but Robin
her and her kids.
You know what? I'm going to even go, the only reason he makes sure her kids are okay is because she won't be okay if they're not okay.
I believe that. Her sole focus is the kids. He knows that.
Right.
So he does her happy.
Oh, that's possible.
He makes sure they're happy.
That's why they're in Flagstaff.
Yep. We firmly believe that. Robin could not leave Dayton. Dayton was going to NAU. She went with. And Dayton is still living at home from what I understand. We'll see.
All right. Moving on. We're back on a Cody chapter. So, the first thing I did on this one, because the kids were asking about Robin and whatever, but the first thing I highlighted here was while Robin was laying it on the line for them, which is the story of her past, Christine leaned over, got right in her face and said, so do you think our husband is cute or not? Which sounds very Christine.
Oh, it does. 100%.
And I think she might have done it out of nervousness as well.
She's trying to like break the ice a little bit.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
And she hadn't witnessed any of the other stuff.
Right.
Totally. Right. Yeah. And Robin said she didn't know Christine well enough to understand she was joking. And she explained that sort of decision was left up to God. And you got to remember, Robin initially said she didn't care if they were
if he's good looking or not.
Whatever. And whether she thought he was cute was immaterial. She said it was just, she was there to figure out if this was something that God wanted for her.
Right.
She was all business. And the answer took the wind out of his sails because he wants to hear he is a hot tamale commodity.
Six-pack abs.
That's right. I had been hoping she would confess to the electricity, which, again, in front of the women, other women would have been probably a little bit much. But Robin explained that pursuing a married man isn't something she'd ever do And then Christine, of course, says, yeah, right, you hussy.
I can kind of see Christine saying something like that, but I don't know. Especially, like, maybe now I could see it, but I don't know if Christine back then I could say, hussy?
I could see it, because especially, I don't know, because I felt like she was still feisty and spicy in those early days, especially when she was pregnant. Yeah. I feel like she was even spicier when she was pregnant, literally.
And that's the thing, is Christine is pregnant at this point. They don't talk about it, but Christine is pregnant at this point.
With Truly. Again,
yes, with Truly. Truly Grace Brown. And when we watch the rewatch, you know, we can note some of those things. But here's the thing. I think maybe even Christine was coming on a little strong purposefully so that Robin kind of knew what she was getting into. And see Christine and Cody do in the early days, like, jab at each other like that, right? So,
yeah. At the end there, he says, by the end of the evening, I was despondent. I was not just smitten with her, but in love.
Da, da, da.
Which is the same time when she's saying she fell in love. So
but,
I guess.
Well, just... but then he says, now I realize I'd have to court her affection. So he feels like she is not smitten like he is. He is the one right now that is all in, and he still feels like he needs to convince her. Right. So he needs to do some smoozing.
So he asks her if she would like to see if they could get to know each other better. And she says, maybe, but I'm not asking for anybody's permission. Which basically is telling Cody, you better make the move. You're going to... She's not doing what Christine did. And
she's
going
not
going
to go ask her dad. She's not going to talk to the church.
Robin's not going to make it easy. She wants to see how hard he's willing to work for her.
Right.
Yep.
Which I don't think has changed.
So then Robin goes on in the next section to explain about women entering plural marriages. And that's when you tell the fathers and the church leaders and all of those things and how to do the family. But what it boiled down to is eventually that Mary convinced Cody to talk to the church leader, to take that step that she required, because she was not going to be doing the groundwork. And she said that's an important step in their faith for several reasons. One is the church can make sure the man is of pure intention and simply not wife chasing. Which I don't actually get the feeling that Cody was wife chasing. You know, he was now just...
Well, especially not at this point, because they were together, just the three of them, with him for so long.
Right, I think that would be kind
of obvious.
So, like,
in this particular situation, it did not appear to
be
a wife-chasing moment.
But apparently, to the church leader, Christine and Mary both went with Cody to the meeting.
Where was Janelle?
Maybe she was working.
She was
probably. Oh, she probably was.
And Cody was immediately given permission to talk to Robin's father. So that was the first thing. First, the church said yes, and because two of his wives went with him and basically vouched and said, yes, we like this idea, then they were given the ability to talk to Robin's father. And so Cody called, asked for her father's permission to court her, and while her father was guarded, he knew how badly she had been hurt before. He said, you can't court her, but you can get to know her. No flowers, no chocolates, no love letters. So no overly romantic gestures trying to woo her in, but you can learn more about one another.
So she says, during the process, we were very chaste. We never hugged.
Because they lived in different places.
We only held hands a couple of times.
Right.
So that was kind of put the gap in there. But again, the first few episodes, we'll watch and see that he was going and staying there for several nights in a row because it was a long way. He would bring a wife with him sometimes, or he'd bring his daughters with him to help babysit kids.
When we were watching the show, we heard the kids say, which wife is he bringing with him? And one time he said, he's not bringing his wife, he's bringing a couple of
but that makes me wonder,
his teenage daughter. Mm-hmm.
Did Cody and the girls sleep in a hotel? Did they sleep in a spare room? Did the kids sleep with Robin's girls? Like, you know, I would assume that in front of his children, they would not have slept in the same room, but who the heck knows? So, soon I started to fall in love with him. She says, I felt safe with Cody and felt comfortable with his family. And then I find this funny because I highlighted it. The last sentence of that paragraph, I wanted angels singing in my ears. You know, they talked about the mountain. Can't you hear the angels singing?
Right.
And right here, Robin wanted angels singing
the
in her ears.
The first glimmer
I wanted
of what we
a
would
sign
see
from God.
At Coyote Pass.
Well, earlier in that same paragraph,
she does have a lot of angel figures.
Cody did and said everything perfectly, which I feel like kind of goes back to the fact of, like, he wants to appear
perfect
and seem a certain way, and how much of a show things really are sometimes with him. Because in this moment, he's doing and saying everything perfectly. Like, so was it really perfect? Is it because it was good, or was it because he was trying to make it be good? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know.
So we head into a Cody chapter, and this is one area where we see something that he did for work. He said for a couple of years before he met Robin, he'd worked as a sales representative selling advertising for billboards. I had no idea.
He was a used billboard salesman.
Right? Oh my gosh,
reusable.
That's really bad.
Reusable billboard.
Right? It's a reusable commodity.
So, and there were days that he could barely sell anything at all, or times. The day that Robin's father called and gave him permission to officially court Robin, his sales career had hit an all-time low. Things were tough. He was considering selling his car. What about other three cars? He had four, right?
Three. I mean, four convertibles. We don't know which one
it
was.
Three convertibles, because they said, do you want to have a fourth? Remember?
Or did the wives all have convertibles at that point? I don't even know.
Yeah, I don't know.
The kids aren't going to fit in convertibles.
I was certain that God would find a way for me to bring Robin into my life. He got off the phone with Robin's dad, he told the wives that we'd received permission to court, and Robin was visiting Lehi at the time, so they could immediately go on a date.
How lucky.
Just wonderful.
So I did find it interesting, and I highlighted and started. In fact, Christine had received a more intense spiritual witness that Robin should marry me than she had received about her own marriage.
Which she says that she realized really early on that they had the soulmate factor.
Right, they had the soulmate connection.
Yeah, totally.
And so it's interesting, though, that it's written by Cody.
Because that must mean Christine said it to him.
Right. In some way, shape, or form. Or he made it more to be than it was. But we see Christine being very reluctant early on about this. But yet somehow this statement is made. So that's where I'm like, I don't know that this is true. I don't know that I believe it.
Or.
Because it's coming from Cody.
Or I wonder if she said it. And the reason why she's so reluctant is, again, because now, going back to how she felt about the younger person earlier, now there's going to be someone that he likes, loves, enjoys more than her.
Because she did
she doesn't like
when
that.
She was in the tell-all, she said at one point when, I think it was Suki was talking to her and said something about, how did you know? And she said when he came home from that date and he was just glowing and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, and he said, I don't know what's wrong with me. I just feel like this. And she goes,
and she said, it's because you're in love.
Yeah, you're lovesick.
You're lovesick. Yeah, you're in love.
So he says that my wives and I were all in what Robin called the knowing club. So they all knew that it was meant to be, but they were still waiting for Robin to catch up, basically. They were out on their first date. Cody said, I love you. I couldn't help myself. Saying those words was a relief, an absolute cathartic experience.
Right, but did you notice? He said Robin and I confessed everything about ourselves to each other.
Stretch marks.
Smelly feet and bad habits. Again, here we go. So Robin, she has her stretch marks. So
she's not fat with stretch marks.
Oh,
she's
that's
skinny
the,
with
that's
stretch
the,
marks.
Okay. I'm just saying.
She didn't gain weight
who
and
has,
get
and
stretch marks.
And does it
marks.
Make you wonder who has the smelly feet?
Right.
Probably Cody.
I don't know. You never know.
It does have to be Cody.
So then we're back on a Robin page. And she says she may have loved Cody, but she wasn't saying it until she was 100% sure. Because words can be cheap, and she wanted to be careful.
Oh, really?
And she was still in there. We're not talking about it right now, but she's still in there
words
somewhere.
Words can be cheap.
So,
and she wanted to know him really well. She didn't want to go to her wedding day and wedding bed with someone who was a stranger.
Just like the
I
other women all
fair.
Did.
Right? They,
I mean,
they
that's
kind of
felt
that
felt.
Way. Yep. She wanted a romantic love.
Right.
So romantic.
And she said, some of my sister wives were more interested in the sisterhood than the husband. But perhaps since I'd been married before, I knew that I needed a man whom I loved, trusted, cherished, and adored. So she's saying some of the other three, some of them were more interested in the family. And of all of them, I'm going to say Janelle's the only one.
Who's interested in the family?
I mean,
well, Christine
loves
took care
the family.
Of all of the kids.
I think Mary
and Christine both wanted
in
stuff from
and
Cody.
And I
Janelle was
like, Christine was equally about the family and the man.
Because
right.
Because she wanted,
Mary
she still wanted that
man.
Too.
Yeah, I think so.
Christine wanted both and Janelle was like,
right.
If the man has to be there, okay.
Right.
So here we come up to a part I like again. So during a visit, she was fasting and praying because she needed a firm sign from God, an affirmation that she was meant to be a part of this family. She knew she was falling in love, but he was breaking down the walls. I felt She-Ra putting away her sword. Oh, we're putting She-Ra away.
Did we even hear about She-Ra's sword?
No, never.
Did she have a sword earlier?
I mean, it wasn't talked about.
It was a secret sword.
Did we ever hear about She-Ra in the show? Did Robin ever mention this?
No, I didn't think so either. No,
this is the only time we ever hear about She-Ra.
Yes.
Right here
in this book. In this book. Yep.
I'm just saying. I feel like it should have come up in an interview at some point.
So anyways, just like the Grinch on this drive, this date, she had a singular experience where her heart started to swell. It grew 10 times its original size.
Because she was with Cody and he was wonderful.
Oh.
She felt the heavenly spirit talking to her and she knew this was her affirmation. Without a doubt, this was the man that she was meant to marry, and she burst into tears. Then Cody looked at her, wondering what was wrong.
And said, are you smelling my feet? I'm sorry.
Began to cry too. They were
because they were so smelly.
Overcome.
With smelly feet.
they didn't say with what.
I'm sorry, I edited that part in.
All right, so we're finishing off Robin and Cody.
With Cody.
And he had been planning to ask Robin to marry him on her birthday, but he jumped the gun. A few days before her birthday, she told him that an older and esteemed man in their faith had called to inquire about courting her. I mean, when you're courting somebody...
No dying.
Excuse me. I can't see. I'm so shocked. I'm so verklempt by it. That another man was courting her that could request it at the same time you're being courted. Can you be multi-courted?
An esteemed older man.
Yeah.
Ooh.
This was a shock to his system. He was devastated. He didn't have the money to marry and support Robin, but he knew that he would have to find a way, even though Robin told the man she knew where she belonged. He was shaken.
Still.
So the next day, Robin and him drove back to the Thanksgiving point where they had just had
where She-Ra had put the sword away.
They were talking. He was overcome with what he believed was God's spirit. And before he knew what he was doing, he took her hand and asked her to marry him.
Which out of all of their proposals is probably the most romantic on Cody's part.
The problem is
Mary's proposal is still the most romantic.
Wait, we don't know what the words were he said.
But the fact that he took her hand and asked her to marry him, as opposed to, let's get the ball rolling, let's do the damn thing or whatever, you know? I'm just saying, he took her hand.
When Christine and
sent her a basketball and said, you want a court?
Right, yeah. Exactly.
So when Christine and him were engaged...
Hit the court.
She told...
Okay, this part I starred and highlighted.
It says, when Christine and I got engaged, she told me she wouldn't kiss me until we were at the altar. After we were married, she realized she had made a mistake and made me promise that if I married again, I'd kiss my next wife before we said our vows. So I took Robin's face in my hands and kissed her.
I call shenanigans.
I don't think she meant kiss right at any moment you felt like. Maybe you need to discuss that still with your wives before you have a kiss.
But here's the deal. We see in the first few episodes of Sister Wives Season 1 that when the wives found out that they were engaged and he immediately kissed her, Christine clearly says, one, I never kissed until the altar because I could not kiss a married man.
Right.
Okay.
That I was not married to.
And then she was very upset by that. And then there's this whole moment where Robin is weeping. And I wrote notes on these episodes and I remember writing
down. We'll be discussing them in the very next episode.
That's right. The next episode is going to be our rewatch of episodes 1, 2, and 3, I believe. That's correct. What we're doing, right? All three we're going to do. Episodes 1, 2, and 3. So I remember distinctly writing down, this is the first time Robin cried on the show. And she is, again.
Because we're keeping a tally.
Sitting there in the group setting, just sobbing Robin, saying, it hurt me so bad that it broke my heart that I broke Christine's heart. Because I didn't know I wasn't supposed to kiss him. It was done. I didn't know.
Well, so and here in the book, though, Cody he saying, grabbed her face.
Well, yes, but this is in Cody's words. Yeah. Christine made me promise I wouldn't marry somebody without kissing them. Mm-hmm. Because we got married without kissing.
And he said they didn't get married for 6 months. So I wonder how many other kisses were in there because they don't say.
Well, we know how many there were. Because here is Christine on her birthing bed And Cody runs off while Christine is in labor to go see Robin and kisses her before he goes to the hospital to help to see Truly Grace be born.
So,
there's at least twice.
How we end is our lives were in upheaval. I couldn't support Robin yet. I couldn't even move her to our town, but I knew God would help me do what it would take to bring our families together when the time was right.
And then it goes to beautiful though, he says, pictures. I couldn't support Robin yet. They had 13 children at this point. Truly Grace was in the womb, but they had 13 children.
So you're already struggling. And you, were you bringing decide in a woman
to bring in
three,
another wife three. And you couldn't figure out how to a support
wife
her.
That isn't with, working,
with three children.
Right?
Right. With
three kids.
A wife. And no, you no need, she was working where she was where she living. Was right, but, the
but
she
wasn't
going
to have a job where she moved.
And you need to have a new house for them because there's no room in your house for them.
Right.
Right. And absolutely. You're going to make them leave the house that they're already in.
Our next
and then
episode
there's,
is
and then there's
be
a
the,
section of pictures, which yeah. are nice from the early days.
They are.
Their wedding pictures and family pictures when everyone was happy.
Which is how we saw their beautiful wedding dresses.
Yep, yep, yep.
And they all look
so,
happy.
So, the next part of the book is going to be part two, sorority. And, you know, I'm not going to make any promises on how we're going to get through each of those with each lady's
And in that one, but. It's every chapter is a single sister wife.
So we will work on getting through those. But
so chapter 5, Mary, for the next time we book club, but we are going to start our rewatch with y'all. So pre-watch episodes 1, 2, and 3 of Sister Wives season 1. That is what we will cover in our next podcast.
All right. So until next time.
Am I going to say it?
I forgot.
Oh, you forgot it.
I forgot it.
You've been listening to the podcast where chaos is always multiplied
and never
divided.
That's right. I'll get it, guys.
Bye, friends.
Bye.
If your life is so chaotic, you don't remember, you've been listening to the It's All Chaos podcast.
To support Tracy, Jill, or get access to any products we've discussed on the podcast, visit our websites at officiallytracytime.com,
shopjillybean.com,
or shopthechaos.com. If you've enjoyed learning about our chaos, you can always leave a positive review on iTunes, Podbean, or wherever you download your podcasts.
And if you would like to tell us about your chaos, you can always email us at itsallchaospodcast@gmail.com, and maybe we'll read your email on the show.
And remember, when life gets chaotic, it's okay to listen to the podcast in your closet with a Starbucks eating raw cookie dough.